In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Now, fig trees is a common biblical tree. Its leaves and fruits are often mentioned in the Bible. It's a leafy tree. Its leaves provide protection from the sun and a good place to hide, as well as a place where in the olden times, in biblical times, people used to sit under the tree to study scriptures. The sycamore tree that Zacchaeus the taxman climbed up to see Jesus was also a kind of a fig tree. And we all know that it was the fig leaves that gave Adam and Eve the cover they needed from being seen naked. Now, there must be some symbolism in Jesus finding Nathanael under the fig tree. What was Nathanael doing under the fig tree? Was he hiding from Jesus, or was he studying scriptures under its shade? Today's gospel lesson stresses the role of others in bringing one to the point of life-changing conversion, epiphany, revelation, a new vision, and an insight. Our lesson tells us that it was John the Baptist who introduced Andrew to Jesus. And Andrew, in turn, introduced Simon Peter to Jesus. Then Jesus went to Galilee, where he met with Philip, who came from Bethsaida, the place of Andrew and Peter. And this Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus. In the Old Testament lesson, we heard this beautiful story of how the old priest Eli helped the young lad Samuel discern God's call. Perhaps as we sit and listen to these stories, it may be helpful for us to consider persons in our lives who may have served us in causing epiphanies of our own. And when in our own life, we may have served as someone else experiencing epiphany in their life. I would say in my own life, my grandfather, who was a priest in the Matoma Church, the Eastern Church, served as an agent of epiphany for me. I was only 4 years old when my mother died. For a brief period of time, my maternal grandparents took care of me. I recall every day when my grandfather would go for his evening stroll in the neighborhood, he would take me with him. And then when we came back, he would make me sit down next to him on his prayer mat for prayer despite my objections. I developed a bond with my grandpa. And then a few years later, when he died, while I was in high school, I remember making a promise standing next to his coffin that one day I would become a priest like my grandfather. Who knew at that time that young boy from that remote village in India would one day serve as a priest at St. Peter's Church in Phoenixville? Today, I wonder, like godly play classes, I wonder whether I am being a witness to others, just as my grandfather was to me. It is always a worry. As a priest of the church, it's always a worry for me whether I am being heard, whether my story of faith in Jesus is helpful to you, to others, causing you to have an epiphany in your life. whether you in turn would become an epiphany, an agent of epiphany yet to more people. If it weren't for people from ages past who served as witnesses to subsequent generations, Christianity would not have been a worldwide phenomenon as it is today. Today, we need to know Christ, and we need to make Christ known for the generations that is to come. Now, how do we know that we are being called to know Christ and to make Christ known? Is life just a bunch of stuff that just happens? How do we make sense out of stuff that happens in our life? How can we see a bush burning and yet not being consumed? How does a leafy fig tree become a lens through which lives can be seen inside out? Was God absent during the days of Eli, that the word of the Lord was rare and the visions were seldom? Was it because God was absent? Or was it because people didn't have the imagination? I believe we are always surrounded by things, events, people that could trigger a eureka moment, an epiphany in our lives. However, to see it, to experience an epiphany, we must begin to see it with a new set of eyes. Our most common human response to anything out of the ordinary is scientific investigation. I tell you something that happened recently to me. I've been experiencing shoulder pain, this one. And I tried different things, physical therapy, cortisone injection, and taking medicine. No let up with my pain. Then all of a sudden, the pain stopped. And I tried to figure out what happened. I couldn't come up with an answer. Then it just dawned on me, kind of an epiphany, why I didn't consider it as an answer to my prayer. Do we respond to graces we experience with mistrust, cynicism, fear, defensiveness, dismissal, and judgmentalism? Do we see ourselves in Nathanael? See how Nathanael responded to Philip, who said, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." But Nathanael was skeptical. He snidely remarked, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" From Nazareth. His remark reminds me of how we today disparage and discredit certain countries in the world because of our predispositions and racist views. In spite of our views, good things do come from those places. And I believe I'm one of those. And in spite of Nathanael's rationalizing and cynicism, Jesus greets him generously as a man to whom there is no deceit. Still, Nathanael was suspicious. He asked Jesus, "Where did you get to know me?" As you can see, Nathanael is no Mr. Congeniality. It appears that Nathanael is not an easy person to win over. This is when Jesus used his trump card, He said, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. This was Nathanael's big epiphany. Nathanael, perhaps a studious student of the scriptures at this point, realized that he was dealing with God, the psalmist praises. In our psalm today, we read, Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from far. Nathanael's epiphany led him to make the great confession. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Epiphany transforms people. It transformed Nathanael. On this eve of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, let me make a reference to the epiphany Martin Luther King Jr. had, which he describes in his book, Stride Toward Freedom. Let me quote him. It is a rather lengthy quote. He said, I was ready to give up. With my cup of coffee sitting untouched before me, I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had all but gone, I decided to take my problem to God. With my head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and prayed aloud. The words I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I am at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I have come to the point where I can face it alone. At that moment, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced God before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of the inner voice saying, stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever. Almost at once, my fears began to go, my uncertainty disappeared, and I was ready to face anything. This epiphany of Martin Luther King Jr. is often referred to as vision in the kitchen. Friends, our call is to know Christ and to make Christ known in the world. Do we know Christ, who comes to us today disguised as a homeless person, as a person who is human trafficked for hard labor, for sex, and for his or her organ? Do we know Christ as an undocumented person on the run from ICE agents? Do we know Christ as a person who is harassed, bullied, and taken advantage of? If so, how are we going to stand up for justice, stand up for truth, stand up in solidarity with Christ on the side of the suffering humanity? This Christmas, I received a gift. It's a gift of a sculpture of homeless Jesus by the sculptor by name Timothy Schmalz. And I'm going to place it right here for you to touch as you come up for communion. And then let us also remember that Christ disguised as a homeless or as any vulnerable person in our society can see us inside out, no matter how leafy is the fig tree we are hiding behind.